Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us. I'm Fran Sales, Assistant Site Editor for SearchVirtualStorage.com. Joining me today is VMware expert Mike Laverick, who will talk to us about VMware's vSphere 5.
Thank you for having me on the call.
Thanks for joining us. All right, so let's dive right in. What new storage management features does VMware's vSphere 5 have to offer that were not available in vSphere 4, and how do they improve on the previous versions?
Well, that's a very, very broad question, but I think some of the key things to take away is the new platform now includes a new version of VMware's file system, VMFS 5. The good news is that you can now do a seamless upgrade from one version of VMFS to another without having to power off the virtual machines. But from a storage perspective, this smashes through the old limitations of VMFS and now allows for a single VMFS volume of 64 terabytes in size, and allows the guest operating system access a LUN directly from the array of a 64 terabyte size as well. SV motion, the ability to move a virtual machine from one data store to another, is being massively improved. They no longer use the change block tracking mechanism, and they now have a mirroring architecture that allows them to do a kind of block level update without driving as many IOPS to the array as they used to. And then finally, another interesting development is the inclusion of a FC over Ethernet, Fibre Channel over Ethernet software adapter. Now, you do need the NICs that support FC over E, and it needs to be enabled in the BIOS. But previously, you had to purchase rather expensive CNAs to get FC over E to work, and they now have a software adapter that enables that. It sort of sits alongside their iSCSI software adapter implementation, but it differs in the fact that you need special network cards enabled in the BIOS for it to work properly.
All right, let's focus more on storage DRS and profile-driven storage. Can you talk a bit about how they work?
Sure. I mean, it's important to see that storage profiles and storage DRS are both sides of the same coin. The two work together. Profiles allows the VMware administrator to install a little bit of software from the storage partner, be that EMC, Dell, or NetApp, and it then allows them to categorize the storage by different attributes, RAID level, what sort of snapshotting support there is there, and also what replication there is available as well. Now, these profiles are intended to allow the system administrator to categorize the storage such that when they go to create a new virtual machine, they could choose different kind of filters, you know, so they can select a profile that would only show volumes that are replicated and high volumes that weren't replicated. That also feeds into the storage DRS feature. In case your listeners aren't familiar, it essentially does for storage what VMware did for CPU and memory. When the virtual machine is created, VMware look at the data stores that are available and can place the virtual machine on the storage of the best type. And they can also move the virtual machines from one data store to another to improve its performance. With that said, you know, storage teams will know that a lot of storage vendors now offer multi-tiering of storage between SSD and SAS and SATA. So the general recommendation is if you are using kind of multi-tiering, auto-tiering as it's sometimes called, is to use SRDS for the initial placement, but let the array handle the moving of the hot blocks, as it's called, from one layer of storage to the other.
And what's new in vSphere 5 around vStorage APIs?
Well, the big news is that the hardware acceleration that used to be available just for block-based storage, that's Fibre Channel iSCSI, has now been extended to NFS. So the time it takes to copy a virtual machine, say when you're provisioning a new virtual machine from a template, is massively reduced. Also exposed to the vSphere layer is thin provisioning stun. Basically, it's a SCSI primitive that will send a message to the system administrators of the vSphere layer about volumes that are thinly provisioned and potentially running out of space. In the past, it used to be that you know, just run out of space and then have all manner of problems to resolve. The other thing that's kind of related to that is something called space reclamation of thin provisioned volumes as well. So when data is deleted out of the virtual disk, That used to be not reclaimed by the storage array, but the new APIs allow that disk space to be recovered. And then on a minor level, there is a new kind of tag that allows you to identify storage which is SSD-based, basically allowing your system administrator, again in vSphere, to ID the storage correctly when they're actually deploying a new virtual machine.
Okay, and vSphere 5 comes with a new virtual storage appliance that is available separately. How does the vSphere storage appliance work, and what are its advantages?
Well, as any appliance from VMware, it's a virtual appliance. It comes with a kind of management head, and then every ESX host gets a VSA, as it's called, which allows you to share out the local storage that's inside each ESX host and make it available over NFS. For the moment, it's being squarely pitched at the SMB market, largely because the volume of storage that you can actually make available to it is pretty limited by the amount of storage actually in the ESX host. Some people have looked at this and thought that the overhead in terms of running the VSA, in terms of RAID level and stuff like that, actually results in quite low disk utilization. But I understand that there's a new iteration of the VSA coming through that will add higher levels of RAID support, RAID 5 and RAID 6, which should result in the same level of protection, but with a larger amount of addressable storage. The other thing that's probably worth saying is that the VSA probably would have had a bigger impact in the early days of virtualization when smaller shops were trying to get into virtualization but couldn't because of the storage requirements. Nowadays, there's a lot of entry-level storage arrays out there that are very good value for money and very good at performance. So it's a bit open at the moment whether the VSA will get the kind of traction that VMware are hoping for. But it's an interesting development, at least, that VMware is trying its best to answer the demands of the SMB market, cost-efficient storage, but still meeting all the requirements of things like vMotion, HA, and DRS.
Okay, that's all we have time for today. Thanks for your answers, Mike.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
And for more information on vSphere 5, you can visit searchvirtualstorage.com.